Let me do that again. Tonight on TMSPM, Sony is in more jeopardy than you might think.
Even Team America is getting canceled.
Wonder how many kids Wonder has.
Hogwarts was totally progressive.
Ask TMS and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. PM.
In the Utah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the TMS PM edition of the show, the morning stream PM. I'm Scott. That's Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Brian.
That's correct. That is accurate. So far, we are 100% accurate on this episode.
Good, because we are listed on PC Magazine's best news and politics podcasts.
What?
Today. There's a list today on PCMagazine.com. And because we have been listed there, we better be accurate in the first 30 seconds of the show because it's all about news and politics.
There's still a PC Magazine, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I was saying. I'm like, what? PC Magazine? Hello? I guess the website does all right. Let's see. Which podcast can fill the cereal-sized hole in your life?
Oh, is the name of
the
nice.
Article. And they have all these categories. First, the best comedy podcast. And then they have a bunch of polygamy podcasts. I don't know what I'm saying. Then you have three. You got your news and politics. And fourth on the list below Bloomberg, The Gist, which is a Slate thing. Mm-hmm. The Bugle, which features John Oliver. Real Time Podcast with Bill Maher. And finally, The Morning Stream.
Okay.
All right.
And interesting. Then, God, I hope there's not going to be some really disappointed people who this is not what I meant when I tuned into news and politics. This is not at all what I was hoping for.
I always worry when we get on lists like this because we're going to get compared to these people.
Right.
Informative, they put the Savage Love Cast on there. That's good. Anyway, they just have a big list of podcasts. Because, you know, Brian, podcasts are back. They're back. Yeah, they're back.
Look at that, though. Right under Bill Maher, right under The Bugle, which is John Oliver.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know Mike Pesca, but he looks like a decent enough guy.
Sure.
And Bloomberg.
Yeah.
So we're in good company. I'm just not sure we're in the right category.
I like that you repeated all those same podcasts that I just
I know.
Read.
I know you did. Yes.
That's right. I like it. I like it a lot.
Well, you didn't say John Oliver, did you?
Yeah, I did.
I was just, no, you did. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It's what we do on Thursday nights.
I'm dizzy from the spray.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. So to follow up from this morning, Brian took the throat spray and you sound okay to me.
Sure.
You know, and you don't feel like you're getting the flu again, do you?
No, I don't feel like that. Does my voice sound deeper?
I think a little, yeah. Less raspy, less spent like last time.
Certainly less. Yeah, that's the thing is that usually on Thursday afternoons, I sound like I've been gargling with 40 grit sandpaper.
Yeah, which nobody wants to do any time of the year. Yeah. Well, that's good. As long as you don't get sick, it's a win. It's in the win column.
Right.
Are you a big Alex Trebek fan?
I am an Alex. Hey, did you see this? We're on PC Magazine's list.
Yeah, I heard about this right below Bill Maher. And
okay, all right.
That was pretty good. Alex Trebek, mustache or not? Are you a fan? Actually, which way do you go?
Yeah,
mustache or no?
I prefer mustache.
Yeah,
but after listening to his interview with Nerdist with Chris Hardwick, from earlier this year, which I thought was just brilliant. I've just got such an appreciation for the guy.
Yeah, he's an interesting dude. Well,
and I myself have never been on Jeopardy, but I'm friends with several people who have.
Well, my sister used to have dinner with what's his name?
Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings. They used to hang out as couples.
Wow.
Before his big moment, and now he is in Seattle and lives nowhere near here. But Wendy could tell us stories. Actually, she probably wouldn't tell us stories because she'd be afraid that it was like bragging that she knew Ken Jennings.
Oh,
she'd probably avoid it.
Don't I brag every summer when I get to hang out with him for a week at the trivia
That's
deal?
True. That's right. You guys expend a little exfoliated palm skin and shake each other's hands.
We share the air of a Tropicana ballroom.
That's brilliant. Amazing. Well, Alex Trebek has threatened to quit Jeopardy. He wants out. Well, he did.
What?
This is another leak from the Sony hack.
Oh, no.
Alex Trebek refused to give in to the demands of a whiny stage mom, warning Sony he would end his 30-year run on Jeopardy if they had a problem with it. Hacked emails revealed on Tuesday. That's today. No, that was just Tuesday. Not today. Today's Thursday. The Jeopardy kids contestant helicopter mother had blown a gasket because the beloved game show icon didn't move a muscle as her visibly upset daughter stormed off stage when she was eliminated prior to the final Jeopardy round, according to the messages leaked by The Guardian of P's hacker group, the GOP, you know the ones.
Right.
As an exchange between Trebek and Sony producers in which the longtime host passionately defends the actions was uncovered on radar.com. Here's the deal. Quote, "If I'm making mistakes and saying things you don't like, maybe it's time for me to move on," Trebek wrote to the producers. "It's not a threat, but I want to let you know how I'm feeling." Listen to Trebek, dude.
I know. And then he followed up with, "It says here that you have an interesting hobby."
Potables.
I love this. I love the fact that, you know, he wouldn't like go chasing after the little girl contestant that lost.
Yeah, he's not going to back down. Why would he do that?
Of course he's not. Oh, come back. Here's $5,000. Try again.
You know how the rules are super flexible. We're fine. Come back because your mom's upset. F that lady. Forget that.
But the weird thing is that for him to send this letter, obviously he was feeling that Sony did have a problem with the fact that he didn't go after her, right?
Well, yeah, somebody had said something to him and said, we've got this problem, this woman, whatever. And he was like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm Alex Mother Effin Trebek. I've been here 30 years. If you don't want me, fine. If you're going to fire me over this dumb thing, I mean, how dumb is this? I'm with
Alex
Trebek.
The answer is spoiled bitch. Spoiled bitch. Michael, you have the board.
That's pretty good. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with people. The leaks come flying, and as you might be not surprised to hear, we have something right at the top of the evening news. Oh, that's not the evening news.
Radio today is different.
Go away.
Powerful network.
Hold on. Jeez, do that again.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news, and we start with another story it's funny because just this morning we talked about the screenings of Team America World Police being replaced in theaters where they took out the interview, right? Mm-hmm. So they were going to say, oh, well, we'll watch the other North Korea movie. Ha ha ha, ho ho ho, right? Well, and we even talked about what's the one down there in Texas? The
Alamo Draft House.
That one. They were kind of spearheading that.
There's one here in Denver, too, that was going to do the same thing.
Well, they're canceling it. All of them, because here's what happened. Sony's plans to release Seth Rogen and James Franco's North Korean comedy The Interview were scrapped on Wednesday. Even Team America screenings have been shelved. Multiple theaters have said they have scrapped plans to screen Team America, which depicts the authoritarian North Korea regime. Blah, blah, blah. The Dallas-Fort Worth Alamo Drafthouse Theater, the Plaza Atlanta Theater in Georgia, and the Capitol Theater in Ohio have all canceled their screenings that they just announced this morning, according to statements on Twitter. Paramount, here's why, okay? They didn't wimp out. Paramount, which distributed the 2004 Trey Parker Matt Stone film, did not immediately respond to a request for comment, but due to circumstances beyond our control, the 12/27 screening has been canceled. We apologize and we'll provide refunds today, says Alamo Drafthouse. We're trying to make the best of an unfortunate situation. Anyway, the bottom line, Paramount pressured everybody to not do it.
Jeez.
What is going on, man?
I know.
Look, I stand by what I said this morning about these not being governments. They can do what they want to do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what a bunch of wimpy a-holes.
Right.
Paramount, Sony, Pictures, whoever else is, all of them, I'll bet you. You put pressure on any of them, I'll bet they all fold like this. This is ridiculous.
So, you know, where does the line get drawn? Like, can these people now go to Best Buy and Walmart sites and say, hey, if you don't stop selling copies of Team America World Police, then we're going to hack your site or we're going to take you down, things like that.
No, you can still buy the movie. You could get it on Blu-ray. You can do all that. They
well,
just
I
don't.
Know you can currently, but...
Oh, you're saying where do they draw the line, right?
Right, exactly. Like, you know, anything that... So now, instead of it just being about The Interview, now it's encompassing a second movie. It's encompassing Team America World Police and...
A 10-year-old movie, mind you.
A 10-year-old movie. And now well, that movie's still out there. It's been released. It exists.
Yeah.
So what's to stop these people from saying, hey, you know what? We don't want Netflix to offer this on streaming anymore. We don't want Best Buy to sell copies of the Blu-ray on their website anymore. And you know, and trying to threaten those guys into taking it down. You know what I'm saying?
It's like really weird. The whole thing is super weird, and I totally agree. Like, does the new Red Dawn movie get pulled because it's North Korea invading instead of Cuba? Do we take out that one James Bond movie with Storm in it? What was that one called? I don't remember.
With Jinx.
Freaking
License to Kill? Previous guy.
It was right before we switched over to Craig.
Right, right.
But anyway, that
Tomorrow
guy...
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah, your bad guy in there was North Korea, and you had a dude with like...
Diamond Face.
Yeah, Diamond Face North Korea, man. Mm-hmm. Are they all out? Can we not do any of this now, everybody? And then what?
Die Another Day. That's what it was.
Gosh, I can't deal with it. It bugs me because this is them just being... Everyone's chicken are getting hacked now. Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, this is, despite the fact that Sony Pictures stock went up today because of all this. Don't ask me why or how. I have no idea how that works.
Really?
Yeah. Their stock went up.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, what is the stock market like about this? I don't get it.
Right.
Clearly I have zero experience in the stock market, so I couldn't tell you, but something was okay with them.
Something that just came to me as a solution. Big solution to the whole situation.
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
Coming in 2015.
Okay, wait.
The Interview, starring Seth Rogen, James Franco, and Dennis Rodman.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Uh-huh, right? Instead of a buddy, you pull Dennis Rodman in there, and then all of a sudden North Korea's got this conflict like, well, wait, we like him.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. Did you know? This is other news that came out today. The original script of The Interview was about a fictitious country and not about North Korea at all. So
change it up to make it Trebekistan or something.
Yeah, and they just made it more real, I guess, by doing that. I'm trying to see if they gave it a name. They didn't. It just says support the interview script, revealed plans.
By the way, do you like how I throw it into Trebekistan? Like, you know?
Oh yeah, that's good. I like that. Like here it says that the original script was killing Osama bin Laden, but then we did that. So then it went to fake leader of a fake country, and then it changed again between a bunch of meetings, resulting in the script being rewritten to be North Korea and their leader, including a meeting that was between Seth Rogen, Sony Pictures, and Evan Goldberg, the producer. Well, duh. Because then you weren't getting hacked, were you?
Right.
Anyway, the whole thing is just so weird to me. It's a weird, weird deal, this entire mess. And if they're still going to leak a bunch of stuff on Christmas Day that no one's expecting, do you think there are people like... just shaking in their boots going, oh, if they find that email exchange between me and what's her name where I sent her my wiener, we're in huge trouble.
To be Tobey Maguire dick pics is what I'm expecting the big reveal on.
From the Spider-Man 3 era, yeah.
That's right. Hanging upside down, dick pic.
Yep,
perfect. Kissing Mary Jane Watson, dick pic.
Dick pic.
Dick pic. Beating up Doc Ock, dick pic.
let's hope so. Let's hope that's what we get. In other news... let's get away from Sony for a minute and move over to Stevie Wonder. He's still kicking it, still doing stuff. You've probably done a cover story or two in the past.
I have, yes.
Well, he has 9 kids now.
Really?
Pop a cork for Stevie Wonder, everybody. The legendary singer of soul has welcomed his 9th child. 64 years old, that's Stevie Wonder. And his girlfriend, Tamika Robin Bracey.
He's older than 64?
It says 64 here.
Wait a minute. I'm...
You're thinking of Ray Charles.
Well, no, I'm not. I was thinking Stevie Wonder was way older than 64.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know.
No, look at that. May 13th, 1950. Why did I think he was older than that? Huh?
I don't know. I thought he was
bigger. He's just been around such a long time when he was little Stevie Wonder and doing fingertips and all that stuff.
Yeah, when he was like 16, 17, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was younger than that.
He was like a Bieber kid.
Like 11.
Yeah. Bieber minus the douche.
Exactly.
Well, let's see. His girlfriend is 40. They confirmed to U.S. Weekly on Thursday that his daughter Nia was born. She's the couple's second child. Nia, of 9 kids, or if 9 kids seems like a lot, just imagine how truly shocking this announcement would have been. In November, Wonder had to shoot down rumors during an appearance on The View that the couple was expecting triplets. Anyway, 9 kids. So one being born today, he's 64. When that kid is 10, he'll be 74. When that kid is 20 and finally moving out of the house, he'll be 84 years old. Think of it that way.
Whoa.
I'm glad I started when I was younger.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
J.K. Rowling. She wrote those Harry Potter books.
Oh, yeah. Harry Potter and the Dirty Pillows.
Yeah. Isn't it? That's the one I missed. I didn't read that one. has revealed that there are LGBT students at Hogwarts. Now, I actually have a problem with this. She's been revealing all sorts of behind-the-scenes information about her hit series, Harry Potter, and talking about Hogwarts and all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And she has said, yes, there were gay and lesbian students at Hogwarts, okay? Mm-hmm. That's fine. But not really. Because... because it's a fake place.
It's not integral to the story, first of all.
It's not in the story at all.
Well, yes, right.
Exactly. Being not integral would be Ron saying, I found a rock on the ground. Anyway, and then talking about something else. That would be non-integral to the story.
Right.
Being gay and lesbian students at the school is a really nice idea, and I'm all for it. It's not in the book at all. It's not even mentioned. So the way I don't like this idea that you can go, yeah, hey, Brian, in the Star Wars universe,
yeah,
there's a dude with a giant whale penis coming out of his forehead. Well, how do you know that? Well, I just think I'm sure there is one. I'm sure that guy's in there.
So, but this came from somebody asking her on Twitter if there were, so just basically saying, are there gay students at Hogwarts? You know,
yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's just her basically saying, sure.
The question's dumb and the answer's dumb. It's a dumb question. That to me, this let's talk about actual schools where there are actual gay and lesbian kids who are mistreated, who have trouble, who need recognition, all that stuff. That's the thing you can ask questions about. You can say, hey, does South Valley High School have gay kids in it? Yes. And bap, bap, bap. All right. Does Hogwarts, a fake place that only exists in the imagination of her and now we sharing it as readers, where we've never discussed it one other time and never shown a thing about it, do they exist there? Are there gay people in the place you've never explained?
Because that totally changes the story for me.
Oh, gosh. It's so annoying to me. It's not, and again, it's gay or not. You could have said anything. You could have said, hey, was there a hockey team at Hogwarts?
Right.
Yes,
right,
there exactly. Was a hockey team there. No, there wasn't. There isn't, because it's not real. So you can't verify it. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this bugs me so bad.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it feels so pandering.
Yes. And I look, faced with a weird Twitter question, I've made dumb answers before too, and I'm not blaming her so much. I just think it's just a dumb conversation.
Scott, do gay people listen to TMS?
What they should have said is, hey, I got it.
Okay.
Here's a better way to ask it. You say, hey, J.K. Rowling, would you, if Hogwarts were real, would it accept students of gay or lesbian, persuasion? And she could say, oh, I would think so, yeah. I mean, it's not a real place, but if it was, I would sure hope so. I mean basically, because
No,
they wouldn't. We ain't letting them gays in here. Are you kidding me?
No, there are strict rules in Hogwarts about gays and minorities, and no, they will not be allowed.
We were able to put one Asian girl in, but you'll notice hardly any black people. Yeah, like... like the, what you're
her
basically
father made a very large donation to Hogwarts and had a wing named after him, so we allowed her in.
Yes, but in the end, it's basically a question about what is she accepting of gay and lesbian lifestyles? If she is, then she would say yes, and if she's not, she'd say no. If that was what you asked her directly, right. But that's basically what you've asked her, because since it's not in the books or the movies at all. You've asked her a thing that is more about whether she would want them in there or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, they skirted around the question. She should have said, hey, J.K. Rowling, as an author, how do you feel about these issues? Right. Hey, I believe they're very important. And then abracadabra and kill the dude asking. What a dumb question. Gosh dang it. Right. I'm so irritated.
I think it's a lot more on the shoulders of the person who asked the question than it is on J.K. Rowling for basically being caught in a position where she basically had to say, yeah, sure. Of course there were. Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Dumb question, fine answer.
Yeah.
Speaking of dumb questions, fine answers. Actually, the other way around. Madonna claims that her new album is being leaked all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And she feels that they are a form of terrorism. Her words. Madonna responded negatively when 11 of her songs from her upcoming album were leaked earlier this week. The leak of her album, which has no official release date or title, provoked Madonna to use social media to vent. She said on an Instagram post on, I noticed a lot of celebrities are using Instagram instead of Twitter to say things, instead of show things. I think that's a little odd to me, but whatever.
That is a little odd, yeah.
Anyway.
Because that's normally just a photo medium.
Yeah, and you still would. Like, there's probably a picture of her weird man arm, and then she wrote that underneath it. Anyway, she says, leaking the songs is artistic rape. That should have been the headline. Jeez. And that she has been violated as a human and an artist. She said that the songs may or may not make it onto her upcoming 13th studio album. She claimed that half of them will not be on the album, and the other half have evolved and changed. The 56-year-old pop singer continues by calling the act of one of terrorism. The act one of terrorism is what I meant to say, Scott. Smack it out of your face. And wondered why people would want to steal and destroy her artistic process. Was she? Where's she been the last 20 years?
Why would people want to get a hold of my album than I want to release it?
I'm sorry. I've been trapped in an English hole for the last 10, 15 years. Has something changed? Did something happen where people steal music online? I'm not saying she should have had her stuff stolen. In fact, poo-poo on them for doing it. Sure. But whatever, Madonna. I just want... how do you think her music will be received? Do you think we're going to be ready for this? Is it going to be all China or Japan digging it and nobody else? Like, what do you think?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? Her last... I can't even remember the name of that album that had the Che Guevara kind of logo cover to it. Mm. That was artistic rape, if you're asking me.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, here's a question for you.
All right.
Isn't the person who leaked it, didn't they work for her? So it's not like some terrorist came in and stole the music. Somebody
not necessarily. I mean, who knows if the recording studio had them in a cloud drive. You know, like when we got the music for Andrew Allen's Secret Identity album.
Yeah.
The studio where he recorded it, did the mastering on it, Soundhouse Studios of Lakeland, Florida, and then they uploaded it to a cloud drive where I went and downloaded it. Somebody could have hacked that, you know, somebody who works with me, somebody who works with Andrew, you know, it could have been
anything,
yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, she added at the bottom here, the leak tracks.
A distraught employee.
Yeah. And she says they are unfinished demos stolen long ago, unquote, and that they are, quote, here's the cocky part.
Okay.
Quote, not ready to be presented to the world, unquote. Oh, well, heaven forbid you present them to the world.
You let us know when they've had time to gestate. Maybe, maybe that whole music album could have been, baked a little bit longer too.
Yeah, good point. All right, Brian, let's take a break. When we come back, Dan, the game board man,
The game board man.
He'll be here. He'll be here to talk a little holiday board gaming and tabletop fun, and then we'll do some Ask TMS. But before all that, Brian brought music, and he's going to share it now.
I did. Alex Knight wrote in. Dear Scott and Brian, on the 18th of November this year, my other half, Josie, will be 26. Having listened to the show for years, but never actually written in, this feels like the perfect time to make a shout out. Thank you to her for all the wonderful memories we've already shared, and I look forward to each and every new one yet to come. Also, a quick thank you to yourself, Scott and Brian. Your relentless audio output has filled countless hours of my life with laughter and interest. As for the song, well, one of our first in-jokes was the He-Man remix of What's Up by Four Non-Blondes, and it always reminds me of her. I would love if you could find the strangest version of it possible. The weirder, the better. Scott loves the bro, though. Alex.
Nice.
I've got one for you. I've got a weird one for you. This is by they're Danish, I think, a Danish vocal group. They're not a cappella, but they're a vocal group called Trash Poor Four. It's kind of like, I think they're French now that I'm looking at their album cover. Mm. French vocal group, and their name actually has poor in it. So there you go. That probably helps right there. This is a fun, like, French swing pop version of it that I think is quite different from the original Four Non-Blondes. This comes from their album Super Duper, which came out in 2006. It's What's Up.
All right, let's play it. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Years of my life and still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should, that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. And so I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed, just to get it all out what's in my head.
Goodness, that was fun.
A little different from the original, right?
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
Breaking news, everyone. Hold on. We got some breaking. I don't have a breaking news thing. Here you go.
I smell like beef.
All right, here's your breaking news. That's the closest I could get. Sony just published, likely by very much accident, they had it scheduled to drop, because that's how you do it on YouTube when you're a big studio.
Sure.
They just published a new YouTube promo for the interview, still showing it opening on Christmas Day. And the title of it is "In Franco and Rogan We Trust," which is highly ironic since they don't seem to trust them at all.
Right.
Way to go, Sony. So there's that. There's that update. Sony is retarded. Let's also talk about this one here. Minecraft creator Notch just outbid. This is true. So you know who I'm talking about. Notch, creator of Minecraft. Notch.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes.
Just outbid Jay-Z and Beyonce on a mega mansion in Beverly Hills. I mean, wow. Remember this guy just made $2.5 billion.
When you're in a bidding war with those two, you know you've made it, right?
That is amazing. $70 million house. He is the high bidder. Oh, look at that place. Look at what he's doing.
Is it all QB? It'd be awesome if it was like all cubes.
No, it's gorgeous, though. Wow. All right. Well, anyway. Yeah, $70 million. That's nothing to a guy who's got $2.5 billion. That's tiny amounts of money, and you'll pay cash. All right. Moving on. Hey, look, it's time for Dan.
Yeah.
Or as I like to say, there he is, the man with the plan. You know what? I was going to have some music for him, and I think I still do. And it's right here. Here it is, right here. Ladies and germs, join us now as Dan Patrice sidles on up to the bar and gives us what for. What's going on, Dan?
What's going on?
Oh,
I can't do it too well.
That's pretty good. Not like that lady. That was awesome.
That was actually might have been better than the original.
I kind of like it. People, yeah.
Some people in the chat room were saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more jaunty. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've heard that was one of the first songs I ever remember as a kid that they played it so much that I never wanted to hear it ever again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point. I can think of a lot of songs that fit that category, but that is one of them. So Dan comes on the show occasionally. We talk about the world of board gaming and tabletop. And Christmas is screaming at us with all lungs ablazing here next week. What cool ideas do you have for that big day?
Well, I wanted to mention this too. You guys were talking about Jeopardy earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I used to work down in Atlanta. I used to have to fly down there every week. And down in Atlanta is a former Jeopardy champion. His name is Dave Leach. He actually owns a board game company. But he was on Jeopardy quite a bit, and he's a big-time board gamer. I got to play a whole bunch with him. And of course, like you would expect, that guy is a freaking genius. You know, even at board games, his mind works way faster than ours could. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a small world thing.
That is intense, man.
Cool.
But yeah, party games. When you're talking about
never played Trivial Pursuit with him, right?
No, actually, he came. I was at a local convention, and they did this sort of trivia thing where we had different teams and stuff. And of course, the team he won because nobody wanted to go up against him. Because anytime he got a trivia question, he had it in like a heartbeat. I was like, man, you always hear stories about how people study for certain things and stuff when they go on Jeopardy. But this guy, he just knew everything.
Yeah. That's funny.
But nice guy you can meet. You know, I kind of like, I'm sure Ken Jennings is some of those people. I mean, although some of them are probably socially awkward, they are just the nicest people.
Oh, yeah. And in Ken's case, I think he's gotten better. He's gotten more of a PR sounding persona than he used to. Because I think when he was just getting started on that, I think he was the nerd to be all nerds. But yeah. He's pretty good in front of a camera now. And
he's good in front of a camera. He still makes some weird comments on Twitter, though. But yeah.
True that.
That's because he doesn't have anywhere to filter it. It just kind of comes out of his fingers. And then he hits send, and it's just out there forever.
Should have.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh.
Well, so speaking of $70 million homes, Dan, what's going on, dude?
Not much. I just got outbid for a home out in L.A. I'm not sure if you noticed that or not. Mr. Z had Mr. Beyonce, they outbid me. And then somebody else must have outbid them because they were telling me that
Mr. Z. Yeah, so. I like that.
Mr. Z.
You didn't sound any more white than you did right at that moment. Mr. Z has outbid us. That's great.
I was hanging out with Mr. Dre.
Yeah. So what should I crack? I mean, I feel like Christmas is weird because Christmas is, if you've got too much family, it's kind of hard to play board games or have tabletop experiences. Right. But I'm taking the kids to Vegas. We're taking board games with us, and we're totally looking forward to the more sort of intimate, less people in the room kind of experience you can have with a good board game.
Well, the thing with with things like Christmas and New Year's and those gatherings is you got to play different types of games. You got to play more party type games. Now, the hallmark of a really good party game is that it's fun to play, but nobody really cares who wins a party game. You know, score doesn't really matter. That's kind of the way I look at them. So I wanted to bring up some games that are easy to find because sometimes I struggle with some games because, you know, almost anybody can get anything on Amazon. But, I mean, if you're going to take some of my recommendations in the next week, it's got to be an easy place to find them. So, mm-hmm. You could find good games at Barnes & Noble. The bookstore actually has a surprisingly good amount of games. And, places like Target. I was it was funny. Last night, I actually happened to be at a Barnes & Noble last night. And because I was at a book signing, just trying to get a book signed for my wife. But I was, I'm standing there just killing time. I'm over by the board game section. And this guy and his kid, and I kind of felt so bad for the guy because it was obvious that he had no idea what he was looking at. And his kid's like, oh, Settlers of Catan, we got to get this. And the kid had picked up one of the expansions, and his dad's like, oh, yeah, we can get it. And then the kid's like, no, I just wanted to show you this. It's actually an expansion. And the poor guy was like, he was just so lost. And I said, yeah, that's actually an expansion. You have to get the regular game. Mm. And then, so, of course, it was like the guy who turned to me with bright eyes is like, oh, you know about this stuff? So I answer one question from this guy, and the next thing you know, it was like I was Meeple Claws. Because all these people just came up to me and kept asking me questions for like 20 minutes. They're all like, well, what do you think about this game? Or my family likes to play this. What do you think I should get? It was the strangest thing. But I was in like Meeple heaven.
Yeah. Meeple Claws is the coolest thing I've heard today.
It's the best. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Well, so good. Well, you're the go-to guy then. That's awesome.
So one game you can check out, and it kind of seems a little cliche, and it might not seem like it's fun, but it's crazy fun. Telestrations is a game. It's kind of like a combination of telephone and Pictionary. So everybody's got their own little book, and you pull a card, and you could roll a die, and on a card, everybody gets the card, and it tells them like something to draw. So then you write what it is on the front of the book, and then you draw it. You close the book up. You give it to the person on your left. Mm-hmm. And they don't look at what it says on the front, but they look at the picture. And then in the next page, they have to write what they think it is. And then they hand it off to the next person who looks at what they thought it was, and they draw a picture. So this kind of goes around the table. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see, like telephone, you see how things change. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. So alternates back and forth between, okay, I think he just drew a guy walking the dog. So I'm going to, assume maybe the word is leash, and you write down the word leash, and then the next person writes or draws what they think leash is. And then it kind of continues.
And then like it might turn into like the next person thinks it's a lasso.
That sounds really fun.
It's like a cowboy.
Oh my god. That sounds like a blast. Yeah.
It really does. Oh, where can you get this? Is online only, or can you get this in a store?
No, you can get this at. This is actually the one where you can get just pretty much anywhere. You can get, there's a 6 to 8 player version you get at Target. It's like $20. Or you can get, there's like an 8 to 12 player version you can get at usually at Barnes & Noble. So they have the big, big one if you have a bigger family gathering. And it's a ton of fun. And of course, you can just put in whatever things you want. If you want to, if it's after hours and you want to do the blue crowd, you can kind of make up whatever you want, put it on the front and let them, let the adults go to town with that sort of thing.
And it's all going on at the same time. So like if you've got 6 players, all 6 are drawing something and then just passing it to the left, right?
Yep. Yeah. So the time is really fast. You have one of those little sand timers. So then once it gets around to the initial person.
Yeah.
Oh, it is great. You just kind of, each person then goes around a table, kind of shows their book. Hey, this is what I started with. This is what it became. This is what it became. And this is, and you show the whole thing of where it got to. So, and that's what's pretty cool is because sometimes it may completely veer off track and then somehow it gets back to the original thing and you're like, how in the world did that just happen?
Wow. That sounds really fun.
I think I'm picking this up this weekend. This sounds terrific.
Minimal people. Tell me about how many people is fun and then not fun enough.
I would say you got to probably get 4 or more. Okay. I mean, you can't really do this with any less than that because really it becomes more or less just like a little mini Pictionary because if you can't skip people like or have someone guess and then pass it on. But I would say probably 4 is probably about the minimum I would mess
So you
with.
Could, but you feel like 4 people would be enough to have a good time.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right, absolutely. Not just as a minimum, but as like that many people, like 3 could pass, but 4, that's a good time, right?
Yeah, 3 okay. 3 would probably pass, because what you could do, even just to kind of modify it a bit, is when they do guess and then they write it, after they guess, they can draw their own picture and then pass it on and kind of skip a step in the middle there.
I'm all for this, dude. This sounds really fun to me.
So another, like, I like to, the Cards Against Humanity crowd, you can't really pull that out at a family gathering. So there's a game that you kind of take a little bit of a similar type thing. It's a game called Snake Oil. Mm. You can find this also at Barnes & Noble. What this is, you get a bunch of cards, and these cards will have things on it. Same thing like words, kind of like those other games, where you may have things like money or rock or oil or armor or beard, stuff like that. And then in the middle, you'll have a card that somebody will flip over who's the judge. It'll be like a nun. So you've got to put 2 of these cards together, and you have to sell the nun a product. So you're basically a snake oil salesman. So you might have to pull a money machine. Maybe you put 2 cards together and you're trying to sell the nun a money machine, and you have to explain to her why she would want that.
Wow.
And everybody, so it's not anonymous like Cards like Against apples Humanity. You're, right. Yeah, you're basically saying, hey, here are my two cards. Here's why it's a good answer. And then it's still voted on at the end by, or the,
the person
in the middle basically chooses
to make it out.
Yeah. I wonder if we were going to see like a spate of new Cards Against Humanity like games that were going to be okay for families and stuff that isn't apples to apples. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, let's call them apples to apples like games. Since Cards Against Humanity is a complete ripoff of apples to apples.
Right.
You know, they call it a-holes to a-holes for a reason.
That's a good point. Like they really did just lift that system, didn't they, and make another game.
Yeah. I mean, more power to them, because you can point out a billion other games that were basically just Me Too games that were ripped off of other people.
Sure.
You know, that, which is fine. You know, and I love apples to apples as because same thing as like Cards Against Humanity. If you're sitting around with a bunch of beers and people, anything can be a ton of fun.
Yeah. Either way, good on them for enterprising and stuff. But it does make me think of how many games could use some game types that could use some really cool improvements. Like, I wouldn't be, and there probably exist, and you could probably name 10, but. There's probably a bunch of Monopoly-like experiences that don't suck as much as Monopoly does.
Yeah.
That are fun, kind of city management sort of competitive games that don't, you know, suck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what regular like hobby board games are. They're games that people like when somebody says to you, and I apologize if I've said this in the past, if somebody says to you, I'm not a gamer, I don't believe that. I believe that people just haven't played the right game yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, maybe you haven't played board games a lot in the past, but you just haven't found that fun game that opened your eyes to be like, well, there are things out there other than Monopoly and life.
Yeah, or Candy Crush. Because if you're not playing Diablo 3 with me, then what are you? You're not even a person. You're just a piece of trash.
You're just a money machine. That's all. the thing, the cool thing about it, I'm not going to say that Cards Against Humanity isn't fun for some people, and I could have a fun time doing it, but you have to take away that uncomfortable factor when you have a certain gathering. Like, you could tell that people at Nerdtacular are even just uncomfortable sitting around table playing games like that. So that's where games like this, like Snake Oil, where you can play it in a large group, still have a ton of laughs.
Yeah.
But there's none of that uncomfortable factor.
Yeah, you could. It's funny because at Nerdtacular, you could see there'd be a big group playing that game, having a ball, everything's good, no issues. There's one night table right next to him playing the same game, but that one's got like a dude and his little kid in it, and everyone's just a little afraid to say anything.
And then everyone's like, "Oh, that'd be great. Oh, I can't use that one. Oh, this would be. Yeah. Oh, I can't use that one.
Yeah, I can't say the queen's vagina out loud. This is bad."
There's actually a game on Kickstarter right now. It's going to end tonight, and it's already funded, so I'm not trying to shill for anything, and I don't even remember the name of it, but it's got the same kind of concept as the Snake Oil, but what you're doing is you're interviewing for a job, and the cards will be like what type of job, and then you'll have cards in your hand that tell you like something funky, like you'll have to play a bunch of cards, like maybe you're a dragon with a stutter and you're trying to try out for a movie role.
Nice.
Or something like that, so it's the same type thing where you're doing just such ridiculous things, but you have to act out these things like these other people are interviewing you and you're trying to get this job.
Yeah, that's nice.
So it's just fun little things that people come up with.
Well, I like it. Any others that people should watch for the holidays?
I'll give you one last one because this is the number one, absolute number one party game in my mind. It's called Time's Up Title Recall.
All right.
Now, Time's Up is a type of game where it's called Time's Up, but Title Recall is the best type. What's great about this game is you pair up and you have to do the no spouse rule because it's unfair advantage when you're with your spouse. Gotta remember that with these games. Now, everyone gets, say, 7 cards and all have like movie titles or actors or something like that. And everyone picks like 4 of them and then they just kind of throw them back in and you mix them all up. So then the first round, you get whatever, 30 seconds to a minute, and you've got your partner. And it's all type of clues, whether it's, but there's no passing in the first round, and they can guess as many times as one. So maybe if I'm trying to get Gone with the Wind with Ibit, and we're just going and we're going around, and then that stack of cards goes around the table until they're all gone and someone's won those cards. So then the second round, you take everybody's cards back after you figure out how many points there is. Now, the whole game, you're using the same stack of cards. Now, what develops is, so round 2, you can only give a 1-word clue. So maybe with Ibit, I'll say something like Scarlet or something like that. And he'll know exactly what it is.
Sure.
Right.
And so then what happens is there's kind of this language that develops at the table. Like somebody may screw up something completely. Like somebody may say Diablo when they were talking about Top Gun. So later in the game, you got to remember that. so that if you give that clue when you get that card in front of you that that the answer is Diablo, so that somebody's going to remember. So everyone's constantly paying attention. And the third round is basically charades. So the first round is anything goes. Second round is only one word and only one answer can be given. And then third round is charades. So you're kind of making these motions to try and give those clues. And remember, they're all the same thing. So everybody should know what the answers are by then.
Right.
And then there's a secret round four that we play with, and it's called freeze frame, where you basically have the person close their eyes and you open your eyes, and it's kind of like charades, except you don't move. So you're just trying to figure out like what in the world the clue is. And you'd be surprised how fast people get it.
Really? So, like arms outstretched, Top Gun.
Exactly. No, and it's funny because somebody made a gesture when they were freaking out about not being able to figure out Top Gun, or maybe they just make the gun symbol in the air frozen that way. Or they're making a symbol of glasses or something, or anything. It's the best game you could possibly play for parties. There's no uncomfort. Nobody really has to know anything, and you're just having a great time.
Wow.
It's Time's Up, Title Recall.
Well, that one's all right. Give me the name of that drawing one, the first one again.
Telestration.
I just want to write this down.
Telestrations. There's Telestrations, Snake Oil, and Time's Up, Title Recall.
Okay, just writing them all down because
I had to write them all down too. Yeah. at least one of them this weekend, maybe two.
And I won't go into these, but if you guys find these are great pickups too. If you find Sushi Go, it's like Seven Wonders. Do you guys know the game Seven Wonders?
Yeah. Familiar a little bit.
It's a card drafting game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, huh. No.
Sushi Go is a cute little version of like Seven Wonders, where you're trying to just you take a card and pass it to the left, and then you're playing the card. Look that up. That's a great game. And then there's a game called Concept. It's basically like board game charades. It's basically there's a board with a bunch of pictures, and then you'll get a clue, and you've got to put different like cubes on the board to try and get people to say the name. It's called Concept, and another great, great game. And that's it. I don't shut up. I'm sorry, boys. I can talk about board games for hours.
Who's the most excited guy I know about board games? It's Dan is who. No worries, man. Have a fantastic holiday. We hope you get to play tons of board games. And we'll
you guys, travel safe, and I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, Happy Festivus, Happy Holidays to everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you after the first of the year, dude.
Yep.
Bye now.
Take care.
Awesome.
Good man, that Dan.
Yeah, totally. Oh, these sound like a total blast.
I agree.
Listen, way more easy for me to wrap my head around than that build a Japanese auto industry game from a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. With you there. All right. Some quick ass TMSs. Before we
quick
kick out of here,
we
got a few minutes here. Here they are. I will give them to you now.
Okay.
Let's see. How is it Thursday already? Asked Dennis. I don't know. Just happened. Whew,
tell me about it.
Just freaking
next.
Happened. Next up. all right. Here's one. Let's see. What was your most memorable moment on any podcast you've ever been on? It might have been... It might have been this show, and it was probably when Brian had to drink thick and liquid. I laughed my head off that day. But that was pretty funny.
Yeah, we're throwing up on this show.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. When I had to eat that bug, that was pretty funny.
Oh, the cricket. Jeez.
Yeah, the food testing provides memorable moments.
Yeah.
I don't know. That and when I got to interview Todd McFarlane on ELR back in the day, in the instance, that was amazing. Thing for me because I'm such a huge fan. How about you? You have a memorable podcast moment on any show of any kind?
Other than the ones I just mentioned, the getting to interview Howard Jones. The first CD I ever got was Dream Into Action. And
did he say at the end of it?
He did. As a matter of fact, how'd you know that?
Well,
so Brian, don't try to live your life in one day. Don't go speed your time away. How am I Jamaican all of a sudden, man?
I look like Scott Johnson for some reason now.
He kind of does.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't like it. The only other moment I would reference was, a couple of moments. But Film Sack days, there was a time where I couldn't stop laughing. I can't remember what it was, but there's a certain kind of laugh that you can get where you can't stop and you just are losing it and eyes are watering and it goes on for like 10 minutes.
I had that with Creamy Peen last week.
Yeah. Very similar to that. And I just lost it on Film Sack once, and I'll never forget that feeling of just not being able to do anything on the show.
Regain control. Yeah, I remember that too.
That was a good one. And then also on Film Sack, as much as some people think it's a downer, I didn't. I loved our our episode about Minority Report and that whole stupid rain question, whether water meant anything. Yeah. That was a fantastic moment. Mm-hmm. Here's more. Let's see. How has Scott not seen the Lego movie? Asked Melissa. I just haven't gotten around to it. We're watching it this weekend as a result. So
wow. Jeez.
Know, I know.
You're a man of action, aren't you?
I really am.
You're a man of solutions.
I have the kung fu. Yeah, there's a little thing on my back. If you flip it up, it makes my kung fu arms go. Nice. How about this one? You get sucked into a wormhole back 200 years. What would you do for a profession? I would want to be a teacher, I think. What would you do 200 years ago? I mean, other than I want to be one of the richest men in New York,
right,
whatever.
You know, blacksmithing always sounded really cool. Like being able to heat up metal and bend it and you know, make stuff out of it. That sounded really cool.
Okay. You can look, teachers are an endangered species even 200 years ago. You can make me a sword. How about this one? Here's a weird one. Old prospector says, video version of the show is being cut off shorter and shorter lately. Is this on purpose? I think pre and post show chat. Thanks. No, sometimes I forget to record a lot of the pre-show. Mm-hmm. That's why that's not always. Sometimes that's right on when we start. And then the post is usually the song gets cut, not by us, but by YouTube, because they think that we don't have rights to play the music, but we do. And the middle ones are sometimes muted. You'll notice that's also YouTube doing that. So it's very annoying, but we don't have really much recourse. Kind of sucks. How about this one, Brian? Most anticipated game release for each of you in 2015.
Ooh.
2015 is a big year for games. Because a lot of stuff got delayed, you know?
Yeah, that one that we saw at E3 where you're like hovering over this planet and then you went into space and it like changes every time you do it. I can't remember.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. That one I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that's number one for me.
Yeah.
By far. If I had to pick a second, it'd be Witcher 3. I think that thing looks great and I want to play that. And the new Batman looks good too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I never did the third Arkham. I did Arkham City. I did Arkham Asylum. I have not done Arkham
Origins
with the backstory stuff.
It was supposed to be the least of the three, so you're probably okay that you missed it.
I'll probably be able to pick it up for $20 when I'm ready to play it.
It was some B team and didn't even have the same voice actors. It was weird.
Oh,
it was more of a prequel anyway, so it didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about this one? Hold on. What one question are you sick of being asked? Everyone always wants to know about the unladen swallow thing. I think that they all think they're being clever and funny and they don't realize that everyone has done it 1,000 times before. So I think that.
The unladen swallow.
Yeah. The stupid joke from the Monty Python movie from the Holy Grail. Gotcha. That's the one asked TMS I'm sick of reading. do you have a favorite Christmas beverage? Brian asks Josh.
I like eggnog. Let me think here. Eggnog or wassail? I think I go more for the eggnog, even though it's a thickened liquid.
Mm. I'm going to say eggnog as well, but it's got to be in very small doses. Mm-hmm. That stuff's super thick. I don't like that.
You don't like chugging the eggnog? Chugging the nog.
Barry Ricks asks, are you going to do another video thing talking about Nerdtacular details like last year? Yes, I will be, but we're ahead of the game, so don't worry. Mm-hmm. That'll come at some point. I'm just skipping down here. Okay. Any chance of getting the Clip Clop lady to make an appearance at Nerdtacular 2015? Well, if you're lucky, she may be cleaning your room, as far as I know.
Right. That was her position?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's just one of the cleaning people there.
Gotcha.
So there's that.
And an administrative. It's funny that, you know, you can clean rooms and then they'll put you on the phone with the person who had that room.
Yeah.
You think that'd be like an administrative deal?
Yeah. Well, who knows how they run that? I assume, maybe I assume too much, but I assume she was just one of the people. Mm-hmm. She went and checked the room and it was somebody else I spoke to originally. So who knows? Adrian says, are you the only one, Scott, that doesn't notice when you start a sentence, quote, it's like... You always go toward nakedness or penises? No, I don't. Do I? Do I do that?
No.
Okay.
No. It's funny. When you try and pull something random, like an analogy, you'll frequently go to.
Well, I did it today. Penis on the head, the whale penis right. on the guy's head.
Penis or grandma, like smells like an old dirty grandma's shoe or something like that. You know, that's the.
Okay.
But I don't want you to be aware of it to the point where you change that behavior.
Okay.
So I'm almost afraid that my mentioning it now is bad. No, it's bad. Okay.
Don't worry. My memory or my attention deficit is high. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Good.
This is an interesting one, says Jeannie, our friend Jeannie, you know, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. She says, should we expect more in the bath pictures on Instagram? Ha 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 ha. Well, ask my wife cause she did that. That was her funny joke.
Spread that one around earlier.
Yeah. It was very nice of him. I need to go see what he did. I never saw what he did. The souvenir Reen says, are those Casper mattresses good for the sex? They're as good as anything else, I suppose. I don't know.
Well answered. And nicely
that's,
done.
That's all I'm going to say there. There was one on here I saw earlier I really wanted to get. So let me see if I can find it, if I'm going to make it like my last one. Because here it is. Okay, no, that's not it. Did a whistle, did a suck the aroma. Okay, all right. They may have taken it out. Did someone delete a question?
What?
It was pretty good. Oh, somebody wants to know what you think of Disney Infinity 2.0, asks Sean. What do you say?
I like it. You know, I'm a big Marvel guy, so if it weren't Marvel characters, I wouldn't care. Like, I didn't care as much about the first Disney Infinity. Mm-hmm. I played it for about an hour. I was like, all right, yeah, I get this. But being a big Marvel fanboy, it speaks to that aspect of me. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, you could make a Marvel tic-tac-toe game and I'd probably be all over it.
You'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. That said, I do want to pick up Stitch. Oh, and yeah. there is ramblings that a Stitch might be under the tree.
Oh, you don't say. Or you do say, I guess.
I do say. You say.
You say. Okay, I'm going to just quickly see if maybe I read this in my own feed, and that's why I'm not seeing it here. Ah, poop. Darn it. Well, I don't see it. That's okay. I'll deal with that later. Well, there you go. Those are your TMS questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag. We use that every week for the PM edition of the show. There will not be one next week because that is Christmas Day, I think. Mm-hmm. Or
and
Eve.
That'd be rude doing a TMS.
Yeah. Who do you think we are?
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's going to do it for us until Monday. We will have a show Monday. I think one Tuesday. Some of this depends on the weather Tuesday, because when we're driving, we want to make sure we are ahead or behind a storm. That may or may not be here. So that may affect Tuesday morning. We don't know for sure. You're going to be in a hotel in Phoenix anyway.
Right.
So you're good either way. But if for some reason that doesn't happen, we'll give you guys plenty of notice. Right now, the plan is a normal show at the normal time. Except you're there an hour earlier. That sucks.
Oh, is it? Are we in the time where Arizona is earlier than?
I don't actually know that for sure. I have this app. Let's see. Not the app. I have the web. Let's do the web. How about this? Let's go.
What time is it in Arizona right now?
Ah, damn it.
It's 5:30 p.m. in Phoenix.
Oh, it's they're on our time.
Same time.
Okay. So hold on.
Something. Did you hear what she said?
No.
It's 5:30 p.m. in Phoenix, Arizona. Something going on there I should know about?
Oh, really? No way. Yes. That's funny. Everyone's while Siri makes me laugh.
Yeah.
We have a good night.
Oh, you're talking to Siri?
No, that was Tristan.
I thought you were talking to Siri still.
Have a good night, Siri.
Love you. Have a good night. Oh, that's hilarious.
Have you ever done that, though? You can say that.
Can you? What happens?
Have a good night.
It's 5:31 p.m.
All right, how about this one? Hold on. Siri, my nipples are cracked and bleeding.
I'm not sure I understand.
What? Okay. My left testicle is showing where.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, that's fine. Jeez, I should go back to the lady Siri.
The lady's way more
she's more fun.
Concerned about your testicle and your nipples.
She's up all night to get lucky. She is. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for being here. As always, support us at Patreon.
And once again, when it's time to go somewhere random and pull something out...
I went to nipples and testicles.
Testicles.
Patreon.com/TMS is our website. Frogpants.com/TMS is where you can support us so you can make this fifth show possible and all the other things we want to do possible at patreon.com/TMS. You can find us at frogpants.com/TMS and email us themorningstream@gmail.com. As always, follow us on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. And the show is at Morning Stream. A big news dump happened today for World of Warcraft. So tune into the instance tomorrow because it's a big whoop. Yeah.
Ooh, cool.
6.1 and some big announcements regarding that next patch that I'm surprised about. Listen to this line. Tradable game time tokens that you will sell to other players for gold.
Ooh,
tradable
really?
Game time tokens.
That's crazy.
What is that?
Okay. Interesting.
Anyway.
Can't wait to hear the instance tomorrow. I'm going to tune in and listen live.
Legendary follower. Come into your legendary quest line. You get a legendary follower for your garrison. Listen to this one.
Is it going to be Barney Stinson?
I don't know. I hope
that'd
so.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would want it to be. I want it to be Chris Metzen himself. Anyway, so tune in for that and other fun stuff tomorrow. Current Geek and a few other things. The former chief editor of PC Gamer is our guest. Ooh, how exciting.
Cool.
All right, that's going to do it. Brian, do you have music to take us out on?
I do.
Great.
So I'm glad you asked because it would have been awkward for me to say, Scott, can I play a song?
I know, right?
So I'm glad you asked. Okay. Chris, a.k.a. Alucard in the chat room, wrote in and said, hi, Scojo and Briabot. By the way, if you're wondering how to get your requests into TMS, it is tinyurl.com/TMS requests. Mm. That's easy.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Sure.
I think it also works with tiny.cc. And Iceworm in the chat room can confirm that. All right. Alucar says, hi, Scojo and Brybot. Friday the 19th of December marks the start of my 27th revolution around the sun, so I'm requesting a song for TMS PM on the 18th. I'm a huge fan of Pink Floyd and would love to hear a cover of Wish You Were Here. Now, I realize that's one of the most covered songs in the world, so if you would like a challenge, The Division Bell is my favorite Floyd album, so a cover of anything from that album would be great too. Blow the Hobo, Chris, Alucard in chat.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, rough stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked and I didn't, just on first glance, I didn't have any covers of anything from The Division Bell. I didn't spend a whole lot of time on it. I just, you know that when you're looking at Pink Floyd covers in my library, it does tend to center around the Roger Waters time period, the David Gilmour, Roger Waters, co-time period of Pink Floyd.
Nice.
So Wish You Were Here. Let's go that one because I love that song and I love covers of it. And I really like this cover of it. This one comes from a 2002 all-female Pink Floyd cover album called Echoes of Pink. It was really, there was this record label and I can't remember what their name was, but they only released four albums and each of the four of them were a tribute album, an all-female tribute album to a different artist. So it was like all-female covers of The Doors and all-female covers of Pink Floyd, et cetera, et cetera. I wish I could remember the name of it. It was really, really on, like 2006. Mm. But this one was great. This one came out on the Echoes of Pink CD. It's Chris McKay and her beautiful rendition of Wish You Were Here.
All right, here it is. I wish you guys were here. We'll see you on Monday for a brand new episode. Come back, won't you?
La, da, da, da. So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? A smile. Change a walk on part in the world. just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. Year after year, running over the same old ground. But have we found the same old fear? Wish you were here. How I wish you were here.
I'm gonna do that one more time.